Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Well, how are you doing, honey? I haven't really had a chance to see how my introvert husband is doing, having 21 people staying at our house for the last... the last family left this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. But it was such a wonderful time, says the extrovert. No, it really was. It was fun, wasn't it? How are you doing, anyway?
I'm doing.
We're going to continue. Hopefully, we'll get done today with.
I brought notes with me today.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, let's read through. Let's read through Philippians and hear the word of the Lord. This is Philippians 3, 7 through 21. But these things were gained to me. These I've counted loss for Christ. Yea, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Aren't you glad he laid hold of you? Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, which is a rule of love, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Those whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
So today we're going to try and concentrate on verses 12 through 15, right? 16. Mm-hmm. 12 through 16. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, the one thing that Paul in Acts 9, it talks about his conversion. When he was killing Christians, he had a pedigree of things that he prided himself in, so to speak, who made him who he was, which he was all privileged. He was born into the right lineage. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was, according to the law, he counted himself blameless. Does that sound a bit self-righteous? But he says, if anybody had confidence in the flesh, I more. I kept the rules. I was going up the ladder. I did it right, Paul was saying. But once he had an experience with the love of God, the light that shone so brighter than the noonday sun, he said, and blinded him for 3 days. Once he experienced the revelation of the love of God and the dross or the ulterior motives and the self-righteousness all kind of came to the surface, it changed his whole value system from that day forward. A complete reversal of values in the Christian life happens when we're awakened to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. When you get a revelation of how much he loves you, how much he knows you, and he still loves you and chose you and called you and picked you out before the world was even formed. It said he knew you before the foundation of the world, and he had a path for you to walk in. So in Acts 9, Paul talks about that experience. Galatians 1, Paul was talking to the Galatians. He was shocked how quickly they embraced a distorted gospel. He said there's only one gospel, and that's the good news of Christ. It is finished. He did the work for you. Now you become his righteousness. You become his wisdom, because now Christ in you is your hope of glory. Now it's no longer you who live. You put no confidence in what you were before. Now you count that all at loss. You let go of this to gain this. Christianity is the only religion where we don't perform to earn brownie points, y'all. Acceptance is given by receiving the sacrifice that was given for you by faith. And that's the pure gospel. That's where Paul is going, oh, you foolish Galatians, have you begun in the spirit? Are you perfected in the flesh? He says, you cannot add to this. You just have to receive the work of the Lord Jesus and just abide. Just abide and just let him do that work in you. You don't strive to be something for God. No, he made you. He took that stony heart and he put in a new heart and he made you the righteousness of God. He made you wisdom. He made you holiness. When you said yes to Jesus, he came in. Amen.
And yet in these section of scriptures we have here, he's talking about a perfection. He's talking about not having already attained or am already perfected, but he presses on that he may lay hold of that which Jesus has also laid hold of. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching toward those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize, the upward call of God. So he says, then he says, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So the word mature is also the word perfection in the scripture. Perfection is mature. And I think sometimes one of the things that can happen to us after we have a conversion, experience of conversion, we kind of are on this fire, right? We're on this beeline path. We want to be spiritually this or that. We want to be spiritually mature. And yet sometimes what happens is in our quest for spiritual maturity, we have these sufferings or we have these times where things just don't go how we thought they would go or how we thought they should go. And so it's this out of this outgrowth of pursuit of perfection or maturity, it's easy to get discontent with our spiritual life. In other words, we think, well, you know what? I'm not experiencing the victories I thought I would. I'm not experiencing the successes that I thought I would. I'm not, I watch this guy on TV and all the stuff he seems to be experiencing, or I hear about these testimonies of these missionaries and all the things they seem to be experiencing. How come I'm not experiencing that? And so we get to this place where it just seems like, well, it's impossible, you know? And so we kind of resign to a spiritual defeat. And yet, on the other hand, we have this pursuit of spiritual maturity, and we see these things happening in our lives and these growth patterns that are going on, and we're having this great opportunity, but we overestimate our spiritual attainments. And so in overestimating our spiritual attainments, we kind of create this plateau for ourselves where we think, okay, I'm good now. You know, everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And so we discount, we kind of take the measure of success or the measure of good things that have happened, and we just kind of like settle into them. And see, for there to be maturity, we don't just like, at the day of our conversion, we're not all of a sudden just mature and everything's great and we've arrived and it's all happened. But maturity is a continual growth, right? And so we want to be careful that we don't resign ourselves to thinking, well, comparing ourselves to somebody else or to something else that makes us feel less than. And we also want to be careful we're not comparing ourselves to somebody else or something else that makes us feel more than.
That's right.
Because our walk with God is not based upon what other people are doing or not doing, right?
That's right.
Our walk with the Lord, being led by the Holy Spirit, is based upon what He's wanting to do in our life and bringing us to a place of spiritual maturity.
Amen. That's where Jesus said, and resurrection only happens through death. And I remember watching Catherine Kuhlman one time on a video. If you know Catherine Kuhlman, God used that woman to do miracles, you know. But she said, I was born with no talents. She had no confidence in her flesh. And she said, I have died 1,000 deaths. That's how Christ could live through her. She said, and he says, death works in me. Paul said that life can work in you. You want God to use you? You want God to use you with his power to touch other lives? You're going to have to die. Because resurrection only happens through death. Trials, stress, pressure, transitions or changes in our life, getting older, accepting our limits, it can trigger us and touch core, deep family of origin issues for all of us. Things that we didn't even know were there. It's kind of like the rocks that pop out of the ground when we've sowed, you know, and farmers sow seed, and here comes the rocks pop. Well, that's what happens with us as we're walking with God, as we're abiding in Him, as we're seeking, God, I want to know you. As you spend time and those rocks start to pop up, and a perfect time is like when you're around a lot of family. The rocks can pop up. And you get triggered sometimes when you get around those that you're supposed to love the most. I heard somebody say, holidays isn't about being with people you like. And I thought, what is wrong with that picture? Something really wrong. But I was reading in Romans this morning, 12, out of the Message Bible. It was so good as I was thinking about triggers and... Let me see, where is that? It's right here. Oh, no, that's Paul saying I was a child. Here we go. Did I pass it? Did you? Oh, did you see it? Anyway, I wanted to read this. Oh, here we go. There it is. Oh. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you, of course, because you've got to do it on your own. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. What's that? Faith in what? Jesus, you made me holy. You made me patient. God, you put your love in me so I can love, I can forgive, I can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Don't get so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Like when Steve was saying, if you're comparing yourself or competing or looking at your dogging yourself, your eyes are in the wrong direction. As you behold Him, you are changed. And that's how we're changed. We're abiding in Him. We're keeping our eyes on Him, Jesus. We're not blaming. We're not making excuses. We're not the victim. You'll be changed, it says charged, but I think it's supposed to be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. That's His goal, that we would be conformed into the image of God. God wants us to grow up. He gave us a body. He gave us the gifts in the body, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets. so that we would grow up. We have one another, people in your life that hold you accountable, that you can confess your sin one to another and pray one for another, that you be healed. You will not grow up unless you're in community. I believe that. You cannot grow in Christ watching TV, church on TV. You have to get around other people that shave off the rough edges in our life. Monday, my 6 kids, spouses, and grandkids all started coming for Thanksgiving. No, it was Sunday night, actually. 3 families came on Sunday evening, and that was 7. Another family drove all night Tuesday, got there at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. That makes 11. Another family came on Thanksgiving morning. That's 13. My mom and her husband came Thanksgiving and spent the night and stayed all day Friday. That's 14. Hannah and the kids were in and out. They're in town. That's 17. And the son that I gave up for adoption, I don't know if you all know the story real quick in a nutshell. When I got saved, I was pregnant. I was in an abusive relationship. I was strung out on drugs. I said, Jesus, I thought I made my bed, I'd have to lay in it, but he sent a family that had been praying for a baby for 6 years and said, I want you to give your baby to this family. I obeyed God, and he gives you grace. If he calls you to do something, he will give you the grace to do it. I never saw the baby. They lived in Texas. He went to Texas and grew up later. When he was 16, my kids and I said, hey, my kids knew my story. They said, let's make birthday cards. Let's send it to him. We sent birthday cards through the minister. He gets all these cards. He says, I want to go meet these people. He's showing up at our door, a 16 strapping-year-old man with flowers in his hands, and says, hi, my name's Jason. Can I give you a hug? And I'm like, yeah. But God is so good. You obey God, it never will cost you. It will always pay in the end to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit and what he wants you to do. So he's a fireman now in Iowa City, and he's married and has 2 kids. They also came to our Thanksgiving dinner. So it's full circle. God is so good. So we're talking about a week of a lot of personalities. A lot of children off schedule, filled with sugar. Yeah. Sibling rival cousins getting reacquainted. Lots of deep conversation, cold walks in the morning. 1,000-piece puzzles going together. Pots of coffee. What's that game called? I can never do it right. Tournament. Mancana. You know that, Nick? What is that called? Anybody know that Marvel game? Anyway, it was so much fun, but also lots of opportunities for triggers, for reactivity, for reactions, for jealousy, for hard feelings or rocks to pop up. You know what I'm saying? Jesus came to free us from triggers, y'all. We do not have to live triggered and reacting and feeling these feelings, but we do have to acknowledge them. And we do have to stop blaming. We do have to start making excuses for why somebody makes me angry or why I feel. No, we have to take those rocks as they pop up and go to the cross and confess our sin. In fact, I had one. There's always been a thing for me. If I feel like there's a child that is lying to me, that gets my goat more. And it was a simple thing like, okay, whose plate was this? Not mine, not mine, not mine. And it just triggers me, you know. And so in me, I can be very kind. I can also be very harsh. I know that's hard to believe. But here it's in, we're saint and we're sinner. You know what? We are secure in Christ, but we're very insecure. We're kind and we're harsh. You know, we are all these things, and we have to accept our shadow as well as our light. And acknowledge it and embrace that's who we are, God. We take it to the cross, and that's where we get set free. Just acknowledging it. So I said to one of my grandsons, actually I said, oh man, my dad came out of me. That's what happens when you get under stress or pressure. What you grew up with usually is what comes to the surface, even if you hated that. Unless you make a determination that I am not going to be like that, but otherwise you do the work. You know, you take it to the cross. You be willing to look at yourself honestly, look in the mirror, and you take it to God. Otherwise, you just revert back to what the way you were raised. So I went to my grandson and said, you know what? I'm really sorry. Mimi didn't need to be so, you know. Just acknowledge it. You know, will you forgive me? Of course he forgives me. Yes, and we're good again. But had I just got, I could have got on a tarrant. I could have, it wouldn't have, but he did, you know, he lied. They lied. You know, you got to choose your battles, but all the time, all that really matters is the way I reacted. It doesn't matter what happened. What matters is what was going on in here. Because that's the only thing that I can change. And I can't even change it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Do you know how spots and wrinkles come out? Heat and pressure. But you have to submit to it. You have to allow the working of the Holy Spirit to iron out those wrinkles. Quit making excuses. Quit pointing and blaming. You know, kids play a game called tag. It's, I'm not it. And this is such a lonely game. They can't be it, you know. Adults play tag all the time in our mind with our judgments, with our, we can't be it. If you grew up in a family where it is not okay to make a mistake, there's a lot of shame around making mistakes. There's a lot of shame about breaking a plate. And so you have to hide. Now look at your family of origin, how you grew up, where they had a no-talk rule. They never talked about feelings of mad or sad or, well, you need to look at that. Because that's not how Jesus wants it in the new family. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. God is asking us to put away childish things. And the biggest thing with children is the blame game. It's not just acknowledging, okay, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Paul said it, please God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. That's the whole goal of God in us, y'all, is to reveal his son in us. Sinner even and saint.
Yeah, because there is a purpose God has for us.
Yes.
And that's part of the perfection of the maturing that Paul is talking about here, in that as he talks about being laid up or laid hold on, Jesus laying hold on me, is that he is making reference to the future of the day where the dead in Christ will rise and those which are alive will be transformed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yet he also realizes that's the goal. That's where I want to get to. I want to be there. I want to be there for that. I don't want to miss that. And yet he also realizes, hey, he's got this sin nature. He's got this body that is a sinful body. And he was just always aware of his need for further perfection, further growing,
yes,
further need of grace, further all of that. And so, We don't want to get stuck in something that, because there's positional truth that we have, right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's true, and we want to remind ourselves of that. And yes, that can help us to be overcomers and to live some kind of victories here on this earth. But we don't want to get stuck in that, right? Because there's also progressive perfection where we have to be working at our growing up.
Yeah,
like Cynthia was talking about, whether it's patience, it's love, it's the will of God, it's holiness, it's, you know, working toward every good and perfect work. You know, all of those things are important for us. And Galatians 3, you know, what Cynthia's talking about, it says, hey, are you so foolish that you began in the Spirit and now you're trying to make yourself perfect or mature in the flesh?
You started is the same way you're going to grow. When you were desperate, you knew you had nothing to offer God. It was all his grace, his goodness. He found me in the depth of my depravity, and he changed me. And that's the same way I'm going to grow up and mature. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Knowing that the fear and trembling part of the awe and reverence that God, yes, you called me for a purpose. You have a plan for my life. And so I don't want to hide this light under a bushel, God. I want you to shine through me and love through me and forgive through me. So I just have to abide in you. I have to stay in your arms, in your love, and every day receive his love for myself, first of all. Because many times the hardest person to forgive is yourself. The hardest person you are is on yourself. Because your eyes are on yourself. Take your eyes off of you and get them on Jesus, and you'll be changed.
Yeah, I like the way that one translation I found of for verse 12 and on is that I did not attain perfection by a single act in the past. I was not perfected in the past and still am not perfect, but it is a continual exercise of my life to pursue perfection in the hope that I may apprehend or seize or make my very own that for which I have been seized by Christ. In other words, it was desire to achieve perfection in the sense of fulfilling God's purpose in his life, in Paul's life. So that's why he goes on. He says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, in verse 13. He's not giving himself any credit for anything.
Mm-mm.
And because humility is huge. I mean, humility is that thing that keeps us, I think, on a good path and in a proper attitude. Because we're never perfected once for all. I have been saved, I am being saved, I will be saved. And so, but he does say, this one thing I can do. And so of all the things that are a struggle for us, all the things that are these wrestlings that we will have in this life, he says there's this one thing I can do. One thing that I can do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The upward call.
You know, there's things he says that we're supposed to forget. There's also things we're supposed to remember. Remember where you were when he found you. Never forget that you were alienated from God, but by the blood of Jesus you were brought close. You were brought nigh. Those are the things you need to remember. But the other things that we need to forget, even all of our own accolades, good or bad, you know, the things that were good about ourselves, the things that were bad about ourselves. Forgive yourself. Forget what you gloried in yesterday. And today you press on to walk in the purpose of God that he called you.
Yeah. And in that pressing on, it's the same as back in verse 12, where he's following after. And so there's just this continual motion or movement forward, right? This continual motion or movement forward that says, I'm going to get there. I've got my eyes fixed on that. I'm not going to deviate from that. And we can, I tell myself that all the time, right? I've got my eyes fixed on that. I'm not going to deviate from that. And then I walk into another room and it's like, what the heck?
You forgot what you were there for, huh?
What am I doing? Where was I going? What's this all about? Right? It's like, oh my gosh. And so sometimes they say go back into the other room, and it's like, I don't want to go back there. I left that. Yeah, it's kind of like that. But that's part of having this body that, you know what, there's this maturing that happens regardless. And Paul even recognized it in himself that there's this thing that has to happen. And even though I'm weak, even though I have to realize my limitations, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, limitations is huge. What are my limitations? Well, sometimes memory is my limitation. You know, what am I doing? Where was I going? You wanted me to what? When did you ask me that? You know, there's just these things that can, limitations. You know, I'm not Hercules. I don't really do helping people with moving anymore these days. You know, physically, I'm just not there anymore, you know.
Your back.
My back and my whatever, you know. But I've learned what my limitations are, and I'm still learning to accept those limitations. And, you know, it's not just physical limitations or mental limitations. There's also spiritual limitations, you know. I'm not going to go up and, you know, to the enemy and try and cast fire down upon them, you know. I mean, I just don't have that gifting, you know. It's just not going to happen. And so the limitations that are, we need to recognize what they are and allow ourselves, you know. Batman has limitations, you know, believe it or not. I mean, he can't just fly around the world in a second, you know, like Superman can.
Yeah, I think getting and being compassionate with yourself and kind, you know, like he is with us, to embrace your weaknesses as well as your strengths, because we all got them. We all got darkness and we got light. We're a sinner and we're a saint. And embracing that and accepting yourself, because God accepts you, and just learning through that, you know, growing. And things are not, if we learn something, it's not a failure. There's no failures in our life when we're learning. God uses pain and suffering and uncomfortability and failures more than anything else in the life of a saint. I believe that. If you will let it do its work and not just dog yourself or hide it and shame yourself, but just realize, okay, God, I see that. Take me on. I'm pressing on.
Yeah, he goes on in verse 15. He says, Let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And I think it's good. He's calling us to a unity here. He's calling us to, hey, let's all get together on this. You know, if there's some things, there's a lot of things we may struggle with in agreement, right? But there are some things that we can come to agreement on. And, you know, our pursuit of fulfilling the purpose of God for our life, I think we can all encourage one another in that, right? And, you know, being okay with, you know what your purpose in life is not what my purpose in life is, and what mine is not what yours is.
Yes.
And you're gonna have a different view of things than I'm going to have a view on things, and you're going to have a different perspective on things, and I'm going to have a different perspective on things. However, this one thing that we can come together with is there is going to be this resurrection. And regardless of being plagued with our physical suffering and our limitations, even by age, we want to continue to strive toward, or not strive, but to push toward, to press forward for this thing that causes growth in us so that we can lay a pathway, as he says here, having this mind. And if any of you lack otherwise, God will reveal it even to you. It's okay. You know, we can trust each other, and we can trust the working of the Holy Spirit in one another, and we can trust that, hey, you know what? I may not have revelations in some areas where you do and you don't and where I do, but you know what? God will reveal it.
Yes.
What he needs to reveal, he will reveal. And if he needs to reveal that to you, he will reveal that to you.
I love that about Paul. He wasn't dogmatic about making you see the way he saw. He said, if anybody doesn't agree in this, God will reveal it. And he had the freedom where he said to the Philippians, I'm confident in this thing, that he which began a good work in you, he is faithful to complete it. You don't have to fix each other. You don't have to try to get somebody to see things your way. We can. That's what unity is all about. We can love each other with all of our differences of opinions and differences of culture or lifestyle or, you know. And also, I think one thing, too, we need to pay attention to the messages or the narrative that you were brought up with, to pay attention. And I think that you only get in tune with the rocks, so to speak, that pop up out of the ground that keep the Word of God from growing and bearing fruit when you get reflective. I know I say this a lot, but you've got to slow down and get quiet and pay attention to what's going on in your heart. We have to, without reflecting, I don't believe that we're going to be able to change, because that's where the Holy Spirit just reveals to you what he wants to do, what he wants you to lay down, what he wants you to pick up. Even as we were singing that song, I had this image of, you know, I want to sit at your feet, you know, lay my head on your chest. I thought about that. Even the Mary and Martha, the parable, especially with Thanksgiving just getting done, and Martha was all upright. Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me make the sandwiches, you know. But you know what? Really, that Jesus just shook up the culture as far as women were concerned, because it was the men that were sitting at the feet in studies at that time. And the women were in the kitchen. Jesus was shaking up the paradigm all the time. He said, Mary has chosen the right thing. This is Mary. She's a woman sitting at the feet of the teacher. That didn't happen back then. He shook the paradigm. The woman at the well, when he talked to the woman at the well, he sent her out. She was the first evangelist that was sent out to witness of Jesus. Allow God to shake your paradigms. Allow him to shake what you always thought was, but might not be.
Yeah, because when you have this intimate relationship with Jesus, it's not about whose role is this and whose role is that.
Yeah.
There's a distinction of, hey, I've got my purpose and I need to fulfill that. Mm-hmm. And the things that I've grown into, I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose hold of anything, as he says here, nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, don't lose that which you have matured into. Hold on to that. Never allow distractions or anything to get in the way. And so it's great, but there's also this concern. He says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So he's also referring to, you know what, there's this need for, we have to be careful about self-satisfaction. We have to be careful about thinking that our spiritual progress is more than what it should be. But we do want to not let go of that which I've already gotten a hold of. Mm. And so, you know, sometimes you can, I've heard someone make a statement, this older guy to this younger guy, I've forgotten more than you'll ever learn. Well, don't forget, you know, it's like, but yeah, but that's part of the limitations that we have as we age, you know, these limitations that we have. But nonetheless, there are this ultimate goal of keeping one another together and pursuing this goal of, I want you to fulfill God's purpose in your life. I want to fulfill God's purpose in my life. But nonetheless, if you're not going there, okay, but I am.
And also pride, what he said, pride is the doorway into deception. The biggest thing I think that keeps Christians from growing is pride. Because the same way we came to Christ, humble, desperate, needing him, that humility of heart is the same thing that's going to cause you to grow and become more like Jesus. Just keeping that heart, because you don't know what you don't know. And you need people in your life that you, and you ask for it. Hey, is there areas that I need some growth at? What did I do good this week? What could I use some improvement on? Ask your spouse. They will tell you. Ask your children. I mean, do you really want to grow? You need people speaking to your blind spots. We all got them. And you have to be humble enough to hear it and not get defensive and just to say, oh, thank you, thank you. Yes, I'm going to take that to Jesus.
Yeah, because I know when somebody is sharing something with me and it's something where I know I need to change, and yet this thing rises up within me, this pride or this arrogance or whatever.
Shame.
Yeah, I know it's there. I may not deal with it right away. I may not like, stop, I'm not yielding to you right now. It might take me a while, but you know it's there.
Yeah.
You know what it is. And yet, so allow yourself to come to the place where you're like, okay, that's pride. Why am I being so proud? Or that's shame. Why does that cause so much shame in my life? What has been happening about that? And spend some time and some self-reflection just to come to that place of, and just ask Jesus, Jesus, would you just show me what that's all about?
Yes.
Jesus, I want to know. I want to know what's going on in me, to allow some healing to come into your life.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, when you bow up against something, there's usually a problem there.
It's a rock.
On the inside. and that's where our growth happens, is the work on the inside.
Yes. So to sum it all up, what is one thing you want them to take away today?
Jesus. Yeah, well, I think recognizing that perfection is not a word that necessarily will mean what you think it means. There is a growth into maturity that we can pursue and press toward, because we will never be completely 100% perfect here on this side of heaven. We just won't.
Can I say something about perfectionism? Perfectionism, I heard it defined like this. I thought it was really good. It's really a 20-ton shield to try to make sure nobody has any info that can cause criticism or rejection in your life. If you're a perfectionist, maybe you need to look back at some messages that are a narrative that you grew up with that makes you feel like you can't make any mistakes. Because there's a lot of shame wrapped up in that. It's okay. We learn most from our mistakes and just own them.
Yeah, and I think another thing for me is forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward toward the prize for the call. And it's you know, when he says the upward call, he is talking about that day of resurrection where the dead in Christ rise first. But forgetting those things which are behind me, and man, that's a work for me. I don't know about you guys, but that is a work for me, especially when it's in areas of shame or
regret,
belittling, or regret, or where I know I missed the mark. And you know, it seems like those can be the things that just want to like have this endless loop, picture loop in my mind of just going round and round and round and round. And I've one of the things I find that is very helpful for me is speaking to it, and just saying nope. I don't want to go there anymore. And the more it keeps coming, the more intense I have to get with speaking against it. And a lot of times it comes when I lay down to go to bed at night. These all of a sudden these things, what I didn't do during the day or what I wished I would have done during the day or even just some random thing that happened 20 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever. And I just have to say, I'm not thinking about that. That's not going to happen. That's not reality in my life anymore.
One thing that helps me with that is I thought about the scripture, agree with your adversary while you're on the way. If he comes and shows me a picture of something I did, it's going, yep, that's exactly why Jesus had to put me to death, so he could live through me. Just agree with it. Yeah, I am a failure in and of my flesh. I don't put any confidence in that devil. I am the righteousness of God. Then you take your place positionally with those thoughts. You agree with the devil when he accuses you and just say, yep, but that's all under the blood. And then you get your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah, and then I think lastly for me is let us walk together. Let us walk by the same rule. And the rule just being we're all going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so just reminding ourselves sometimes, hey, Jesus is coming again. Let's not forget
yes.
that. Jesus is coming back. Let's not forget that. There's coming that day.
Love.
Yeah, and so let's spur each other on into good works, right? And let's encourage one another in that, to allow the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to flow, to not just being grateful for it flowing in us, but allow it to flow through us and toward others. But just remember that Jesus is coming again.
Yes.
Right now, there's this great cloud of witnesses, you know, and they're watching what's going on, you know. And I kind of think about that sometimes when I'm about, you know, especially, you know, when you're younger or something, you're about ready to do something when you know you shouldn't do, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh wait a minute, there's this crowd,
grandpa,
people watching me, you know. Maybe I don't want to do that, you know. And so, but whatever it takes to help us to keep pressing forward,
because it's a race. We're in a race. It's a marathon. And you always keep your eye on the goal, you know. Even though in the race your body's hurting, you're suffering, you got a side ache, you know, but we keep going because there is a finish line. And we were called for such a time as this, that Paul said, I finished my course. I ran the race. And now is laid up for me a crown of glory. He always kept that in mind. He's running a race and he's going to finish it. I want to finish well. Let's finish well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, bring your word to life in us. God, that we would be doers of your word, not merely hearers only, God. That we could first of all love and forgive ourselves and receive your love that breaks down those walls and the narrative that we believed all of our life about ourselves. Father, we will press on to know you. Father, I ask that every person here would experience your love in a greater depth this week, Father, and be able to receive that love for themselves, that they could be a conduit of the love to the world that you died for. And it starts in our homes, God, with our husband, with our wife, with our children, that we would believe the best of each other, that we'd be patient, that we'd be kind, God, that we wouldn't be jealous, but Father, that your love in us would rule in our homes and in our lives, because love will never fail. We want to put away childish things, God. We want to speak like a child. We want to think like a child. We don't want to act like a child anymore. It's growing up time, God. You're coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. So I say, Father, I bring on the heat and the pressure. I want to be like you, Jesus. And I need your grace to do that. We thank you for that in Jesus' mighty, powerful, holy name. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, please just come on up to the front. There's people of our prayer team that will be glad to pray with you and visit with you. And then also, let's on our way out, let's just look somebody in the eye and say, let's finish well, you know, pound it out with them, or give them a high five, or a love hug or something, you know. But yeah, do that with a few people on your way out. Just look them in the eye and say, let's finish well. Okay?
Love you.
God bless you. We love you guys.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.